This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, which as always is kindly sponsored by Shortland Horn, Coventry's leading estate agents. I'm David Moore and I'll be guiding us through tonight's podcast, and I'm absolutely pleased to say I'm joined by Ross. It's been a while, Ross.
It's been a while, David. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, exactly. And also I'm joined pod debut for Matt Trutwine. You may know Matt as the chap that does our amazing previews, but lovely to have you on, Matt.
Good to be here. Thanks for getting me on.
Brilliant. Well, we're obviously going to look back tonight at Friday night's emphatic win against Peterborough, and also look ahead to Wednesday's trip against Luton, and probably what's going to be our toughest test yet, a home game on TV against Fulham. Let's get straight into it, chaps. A really incredible but comfortable win at the CBS Arena on Friday night, Ross.
Oh, it was fantastic from start to finish. It's just what a time to be a Sky Blues fan. I just thought it was absolutely a brilliant performance, brilliant atmosphere. Arguably, honestly, I don't think I've seen an atmosphere quite like it, you know, in a league game at that stadium. And it was something to behold. It really was. It was actually
the concourse was just the concourse, wasn't it, before the game?
Before the game, and then leaving the game. But it, even during the game, we won well, and that's the key. You know, in our previous championship era, we seemed to win games, and we'd sort of just sort of scrape a win here and there, and there was never that sort of feel good factor. We won well, and I felt the goals were coming. You know, and It was genuinely fantastic. It was. I left with a massive smile on my face. So, yeah, I was buzzing.
Yeah, and Ross, were you happy with the way Robin set up? I think we probably all expected that he was going to have the same team that played against Cardiff, obviously, bar the forced absentee of Dabo.
Exactly, and obviously, you know, he made a couple of changes in the against Millwall on the previous weekend. The only doubt in my mind was whether Clark Salter was going to be back, because obviously he was taken off with concussion protocols, and
yeah,
Mark Robbins was quite coy about that on his Thursday press conference this week. But I actually, when Mark Robbins is coy like that, I thought suddenly there is a good chance he's going to be back. And then the two changes were expected: Allen to come back in, and of course Martin Waghorn to come back in for Matty Godden. So the lineup was exactly what I thought. I was, you know, a little bit surprised to see Johnson Clark Harris's name on Peterborough's team sheet.
As was everyone.
As was everyone. It was, it was funny because the guy who I have a season ticket with, we joked saying, oh, you know, what would you do if you see Clark Harris's name on Peterborough's Twitter thing? And then we looked and there it was. I couldn't believe it. It was like, so no surprises in terms of our squad. I mean, the depth and the strength is just, there's so many players that just pick themselves at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've got no Andy tonight, of course, and he usually does the match stats from the games for us. So I'll run through these, but we had 45% possession, 16 shots versus their 8. 7 of those shots were on target versus just 2 from Peterborough, and 386 passes completed versus 499. 10 interceptions versus 11, 14 tackles won, they won 15, and we won 7 aerial duels versus their 10. I think the shots on target was obviously the telling aspect there, Matt. And, you know, we started really, really quickly. We have done in all of our home fixtures, haven't we? Did you feel we didn't quite have the same intensity, though, this game?
I think we're at that point now where it is kind of, we're really having to struggle to find where there might be, you know, faults in the team. But maybe, yeah, you know, early on in the game, we were, I'd probably liken it a little bit to the Forest game in terms of the fact of we looked a little bit nervous in the kind of the opening, maybe 60 minutes of the Forest game, you know, which is understandable, I guess, first game of the season and you're back in Coventry,
yeah,
for the first time in a long time as well. And I think maybe now what is going to be a thing to kind of watch for is as that expectancy grows,
yeah,
and I think there is a little bit of that in my mind as well, you know, when we're kind of going through another home victory and kind of we're keeping this run going, that expectancy is going to build, and obviously the league we can already see start to sit up and take notice. And maybe a little bit at the start of the game we kind of saw the effects of that, because we have started with such as you say intensity throughout the season so far. But really, kind of picking up on what Ross said, there was always that confidence in me that we were going to get the goals.
Yeah, I agree.
I kind of always felt they were going to struggle. You know, having done the preview for the Birmingham game, they got a goal early and that really helped them to that 3-0 victory. I think that was kind of a bit of a false result in a certain respect because of that. And I just always thought they were going to struggle to break through.
I think you made a really good point there about we've sort of trying to pick holes, aren't we, in the team, when really they've just been absolutely incredible start to the season. I think one thing I would say there is we talked about already about how exciting it was and what the concourse was like. Obviously, we're attracting a few people that perhaps haven't quite made it up to the CBS just yet. Do you think with that, because of what you see on Twitter and what you see on the videos, and we've obviously started really fast and we've been scoring goals, do you think that also adds to it? You know, you've got a crowd now that are perhaps expecting to see goals flying in and amazing performances, and we are still coming up against Championship opposition every week, and it's going to be tough, isn't it, Matt?
I think we have to kind of keep that in the back of our minds as well. You know, we are still only in our second season at this level. Yeah. And every week, you know, we kind of, Peterborough is probably one of those games, a home game against Peterborough, where you're coming in having won all of your previous home games. The expectancy is going to be huge there. You know, they're kind of a team that's expected to struggle this season. And we're obviously kind of, they haven't won away from home. We've won every game at the CBS. So yeah, expectation is there. And I think you're 100% right. We are going to have fans who, you know, with one of the better way of putting it, you know, they're there because of the fact of us winning these games and the start that we've had to the season. So if that starts to drop off, you know, whereas maybe some of us are a bit more used to it and kind of have that history, you know, some of the people maybe might not react in the right way.
Yeah, exactly. But they were treated to an amazing performance. And kicking off, Ross, Todd Kane, he was getting a lot of the ball, wasn't he, down that right-hand side? And he flashed one across the box. What did you make of him in the early exchanges?
I thought he had a really good game. I thought him and Martin, again, they were just in acres of space. And he was really positive, you know. And just touching on the atmosphere point, there was a couple of times in the first half he lost the ball. He tried to get past his man. He lost it. Or, he sort of got caught in two minds with his cross shoot and he sort of slashed a shot wide. But the difference is that I feel like there was no sort of like instantly jumping on the back of players, you know, when they made a mistake. The vibe just feels so different to me. There was 19,000 commentary fans there. And, there's been games we would have all been to in League One and lower where there's been 10,000. And the moment someone does a bad pass, it's just toxic straight away. I just feel there's a total sort of, there's so much sort of tolerance there because they can see that everyone's giving everything, and that's from the top down sort of thing. So, and Todd Kane was a prime example of that because I thought he had a really good game, and you know, it's big shoes to fill. You know, Dabo's been fantastic this season, so to come in, and I thought he was really, like you say, he had a lot of space down the right. He actually flashed a couple of really good crosses in the box, and unfortunately there was no one there to sort of get on the end of them in the first half. But I thought he's good, and it just shows again what a sort of shrewd little signing that is to have someone who can come in and
he's very solid backup, isn't he? Now he's incredibly very tried backup and tested. You think if Dabo would have gone off injured last year, you perhaps would have had Josh Eccles that we've already played at right back, and Costa, and without taking anything away from especially Eccles, who's a young lad, he wouldn't have been bombing on and probably delivering final balls like what Todd Kane showed and did show throughout the game.
Absolutely, absolutely, and he's got that Championship experience. What I love about him also, I love his like attitude. You know what I mean? I love the way he's like pumping, do you know what I mean, the fans, and he instantly seems to have embedded into this unbelievable team spirit that we can just so clearly see in front of our eyes, you know. And you hear about it that the players we've had on our podcast have said it over the last few seasons with what Mark Robbins has built, but you can see it on the pitch. And Todd Kane as the latest signing coming in, and he's there pumping, you know, getting everyone going, and it's just great to see. Yeah, I thought we had a really, really good game, and as we all know, he got an unbelievable assist in the second half.
Yeah, we had a free kick on the half hour mark, Matt, and you could kind of see that City were getting on top at that point. What did you make of that and also Gus's effort?
Yeah, I think from the half hour point onwards, you could sense the way the game was going to go, to be honest, and kind of going back to what we said before, that confidence in the fact the goal was going to come at some point. You know, there was never really any doubt in my mind, and that's a really rare thought being a Coventry fan. You know, this season it feels there is no question it's going to come. And with the free kick, I think Aimer's got so much technical ability, and sometimes you kind of if there is something you'd say about Hamer, you kind of look at certain situations, you do think, get the shot in, you know, just get that shot in at pace, really work the keeper. And it was one, you know, we're talking within a yard of the penalty area, really nicely set up. You're thinking, this is one you could just absolutely lash down, even if it's down the throat of the keeper, if it kind of, you know, takes a slight flick off the wall.
It's hard to float them in from that sort of distance, isn't it? And it seems to be all the free kicks he's had so far this season has been a little bit of expectancy, I guess. And they've all been really close, haven't they, to the sort of, to the penalty box.
I think that's the thing. He backs himself, and rightly so. You know, he even to be able to get that ball up and over and kind of down from where he was, it in itself was, you know, fantastic technique. And it just unfortunately was, you know, that one just the other side of the post. So I can understand why he backs himself technically, because he has a fantastic player. But sometimes you do just, if there was one thing you'd say, it's, you know, maybe every time you don't have to go for that top corner, you know, let's test the keeper. You know, I don't, even though we looked confident at that point, we were growing into the game, we hadn't tested the keeper massively by that point. You're thinking, you know, great opportunity to test the keeper and maybe see what would have come of it.
How about Martin Waghorn? You know, he's a proven free kick. He scored a lot.
He was sort of
stood
over it, wasn't he?
He's been stood over every one. And I remember I had a friend who's in the Cardiff end, and he said, if Waghorn takes this, he scored goals against Cardiff in the previous season's free kicks, top corner goal, and he's not taken one. And I've seen that free kick position. We had one against Middlesbrough. Hamer, he got it on target, keeper, but it was sort of straight down and tipped it over. He had one against Cardiff, literally the same position, hit it straight to the wall. And then that one, same position again, over the bar. And Waghorn has scored a hell of a lot more free kicks. You know,
it just felt a bit more over Hamer's side, but I do agree with you. Waghorn is queuing up, isn't he? And he's seriously going to be putting his name forward, I think.
I mean, that's the thing. And I mean, Hamer, I mean, I totally agree. I think he's got the technical ability to do it. But I mean, you know, because Martin Waghorn, he's, you know, taken free kicks, you know, at Derby and everywhere else and scored them. You sort of think, you know, he is going to be chomping at the bit to take one, isn't he? So,
yeah, exactly. Well, it ended all square at half time, and I think it was a bit frustrating that the Sky Blues couldn't obviously convert and go in at half time leading. But on 52 minutes, Matt, we had a free kick and Gus chipped it in. Higham headed it back. And Vic's attempt was blocked on the line. Do you think he could have done better with this one, Jokeres? Or, I mean, a lot of Peterborough players blocking it, wasn't there?
I think, you know, and at the moment, obviously, Vic's kind of the standout for us in terms of kind of getting the goals and taking his chances. What I would say about it, you're kind of looking at your striker who's got, at that point, would have been 5 goals already. You know, you're thinking this is your main guy you'd want in that position with the ball kind of 5-6 yards out from goal. You expect to see the net bulge. So kind of maybe there is that expectation because of the position he was in. If I was to kind of defend him with that one, because of where he was, the header from Higham, it comes at him at a really poor angle. I think he catches it, or it gets to him right on the kind of the upturn of the bounce.
Yeah.
You know, it's a downward header. And as it gets to him, it's kind of at its highest point coming back up. So if I was to maybe try and defend him a bit, it's to say, you know, he had to work to get his foot over the
shot
ball
away,
and would have been quite easy to see that one kind of skied over the bar if he'd just been throwing a foot at it. I think he had to kind of work to get his foot over, and obviously that takes a little bit of the opportunity to kind of place it away from him. So, and maybe, you know, obviously really unfortunate, as you say, that the Peterborough backline was there on the line to kind of make the block. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely a great chance, and it's one that certainly could have gone in the back of the net. But, yeah, just think with that bounce, we can let him off on that one, I think.
Yeah, fair enough. And we finally, you know, broke through, and we're really on the front foot, Ross. This time it was Allen that strove forward. Really good counter-attacking play out to Mateson, and he fizzed it across, didn't he? Waghorn's shot was blocked, but it rolled out to Hamer, who calmly finished. What did you make of this goal, Ross?
That was brilliant. It's been the sort of football we've seen all season, like just quick energy, committing people forward, the wing backs, both central midfielders. And it all started with the entire stadium of all 19,000 Coventry fans singing, "If you love City, stand up." And everyone was stood up. And then Peterborough had a corner. And I just thought it was goosebumps. It was like, it honestly gave me goosebumps. I was just like, it was 0-0. And we could just feel, I was thinking, how many times have I sat in the away end of other grounds or even you know, at the Rico at the time when I used to have my season ticket in a different spot, and I used to look at that far end, and you could just tell, you know, the other team, they're going to score, sort of thing. But I felt it for us. And everyone was just singing, you know, if you love City, stand up. They had a corner, we cleared it, and then we just flew out. And like you say, Mattson, I mean, we had so many chances beforehand. I mean, and then it was incredibly calm finish from Hamer. So it was totally fully deserved. And we just upped it a notch, didn't we? Like I thought we just put it up another gear in that second half. And Peterborough couldn't cope. And I thought it was just quality. Again, I just loved the way we just fluid. I mean, it was like 1 or 2% off in the first half, whether it was like a slightly heavy touch or a slightly
over. And I thought they had a lot of joy in the middle of the park as well. I thought they moved it quite well, and we didn't quite get close enough to them, I think, for the first 35, 40 minutes.
You are right. But also, to be fair, just a quick shout, we 100% should have had a penalty in the first half.
Yeah.
Mattson was, I've seen it back, absolute stone wall right in front of me. I couldn't believe it. Could not believe it.
I think with the others weren't as much. I think I haven't been able to see a replay of those, but I don't think the others were as much, and I think that's probably played on the ref's mind that there's been a couple now.
Maybe.
But I agree with you, and like Matt said there, it was a stonewall penalty. That kicked off an absolute mental 5 minutes, though, for the City, and we got a second through the in-form Jokeres. Many players involved. Waghorn, a brilliant knockdown. Really, really great. Hamer's vision with the header. Kane's cross, pinpoint, and a real striker's finish from the Super Swede. It's a great team goal, Matt.
Yeah, and it started with, I think, O'Hare as well, kind of pinged the ball from one end of the pitch to the other, and kind of follows up on what Ross said as well. You know, I think the cohesion, the speed we play at, it's something that I struggle to kind of think back to a time having seen us play with that level of speed. And actually, you know, it's not just about playing with speed as well. It's actually kind of making that count and holding onto the ball and making the kind of the passes count as well. And, you know, we absolutely kind of tore them apart with that movement. It's absolutely fantastic. Everybody seemed to have that cohesion of knowing where their teammate was going to be.
Yeah.
Hamer's header through, you know, he's kind of almost in a way unsighted, but just almost pretty much knew that's where Kane was going to be. And obviously, you know, we've said everything we can in terms of the ball from Kane. It's absolutely unplayable. And that's, I think, pretty much the definition of putting it on a plate for your teammate. And just picking up on what Ross said before as well, in terms of the reaction to that goal, you know, again, I think it shows the cohesion of the team with Kane. Obviously, he's come into us and there were kind of question marks around him as a character, and maybe things didn't go so well with him at QPR. And he obviously undoubtedly has that championship quality, but maybe the question marks were about him as a person. But you could see, you know, everybody ran straight over towards him to celebrate the goal. You know, he absolutely lost his mind in terms of his reaction to the ball going in and kind of, you know,
which is great to see, well, isn't it? Because he has took this chance. He's not, you know, he's not made any serious errors, has he? There's nothing that's been, you know, fruit down that side. And I think, you know, he has been really, really good backup for Dabo. And like you said, I know it's probably more personal. I think he had quite a big opinion himself, probably thought he should have been playing. I think that's where there was words at QPR. But he's got that pace, hasn't he, to get up the line. And that's what we need, because we do counter so quickly. And I think if you had perhaps a bit more of a laggy right wing back, you'd be sort of be stunting that style of play. So he does suit us, doesn't he?
I think perfectly. And he also gives you that confidence in a defensive position. You know, at the very worst, we've maybe had 5-10 minute pockets where you've kind of, you thought he's feeling his way into the game, but you know, he has come in very late in the transfer window. And in the main, like you say, there's not really been anything major that you could put down to him from a defensive point of view. And he has got that experience. So feel absolutely confident with him in terms of a defensive point of view, but certainly has that pace. And, you know, not just for the goal we saw, as Ross mentioned earlier, a couple of examples of fantastic balls that he put in. And it is one of those, you know, I think possibly we were all a little bit concerned when Dabo did what he did and he had that 3-game kind of ban coming up. But, you know, it's not something really that is a particular concern.
Do you think Dabo walked straight back in, Matt, after Kane's last two appearances? I mean, one thing I would say is that this isn't taking anything away from Dabo, but people were screaming at Kane to shoot. And then when he sort of didn't shoot first time on Friday night, there was a few jeers, wasn't there? A little bit of noise from the crowd. But Dabo's not particularly that in that position either. You wouldn't probably imagine Dabo taking a shot on. Do you think Dabo walked straight back in? Or
I think a lot will depend on the Luton game, to be honest with you. I think it's possibly another opportunity for Kane to kind of really show, look, you can't drop me at the minute. Let's see what happens in that Luton game. I think if I was to say today, yes, I probably think Dabo will come back in. But having said that, if the Luton game, Kane does something similar to what he did on Friday night, I think it's going to be a struggle. And I think Mark Robbins does put a lot into kind of fluidity and kind of keeping momentum going. So it's, if he does that on Wednesday night, then he's going to be a difficult man to leave out.
And from the goal, just another 3 minutes later, and the Sky Blues drove forward again. It was Waghorn picking up a wayward ball, actually, from Peterborough, a misplaced pass. And it was Jokeres who grabbed his second and Coventry's third, Ross. Not the first time we've said it this season, but I thought the chance had gone.
No, yeah, me too. But I think that's a testament to not only the team, but Jokeres as a player. Sometimes you think almost the us having an attack is gone, but he just keeps the ball. He's relentless in what he does, and he twisted and turned and got his shot away, and that's the crucial thing. And it took a fortunate loop over the goal and went in. But again, take away the actual sort of deflection over the keeper, but the build up. They Peter made a mistake in the middle of the park, but we were so quick. I mean, actually thought Waghorn should have played O'Hare.
Yes,
he was on the left, and I was begging for O'Hare to get goals. Yeah. I actually thought he looked really lively again, and he looked really up for it. But he chose to go to Jokeres, and hey, I mean, when you're in a purple patch, that happened, and
That's it. It does fall for you when you're that high on confidence, and he really is oozing with confidence, is he, at the moment?
It's almost like he, and what's great is when you see a striker with confidence, he doesn't, it's like he doesn't have to try too hard. I mean, he does try incredibly hard, don't get me wrong, but he's like with his, he just, I don't know, everything is just sort of going for him, but he's making his own look.
It gives you the ability to try stuff, doesn't it, as well? Because
of course it does.
Just everything's turned into gold. It gives whereas players, when they're playing under pressure and they're not scoring, they probably overthink things.
A prime example in terms of the goal scoring. He's desperate to get a goal. He had a great chance in the first half, then he went, Kane put that ball across the 6-yard, and that a goal will come for him. But that you're almost looking at two chalk and cheese players in terms of one, everything he hits turns to goals, and then someone else who he almost is, it's just not quite going in for him yet. But that will change, and they'll both. And
I suppose the same for Waghorn, because it was his shot that was blocked that went to Hamer, I think, and he had another chance, and he's probably only a few sort of either side of that player, and it's probably going in, I suppose.
Exactly, and I'm confident that when Vic's goals just dry up a little bit, then they'll fall. Waghorn will be there. You've got O'Hare there. You've got Matty Godden off the bench, Tyler Walker. These are the players. So, no, it was a great goal. And that 7 minutes absolutely destroyed Peterborough. Well, and I just thought the stadium was absolutely like rocking quality.
Late on, Simon Moore made a great save, actually. A really neat stop from a one-on-one, Matt. And we need to keep clean sheets, didn't we? And he kept another one.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, players, everybody kind of wants to feel like they've had their impact on a win, that they've done their bit. And obviously at that stage, I think we're all fairly comfortable in the fact of, even if they had scored that goal, we would have gone on to pick up the 3 points. But you will see kind of reactions from keepers in games where they're 4 or 5 goals up and they concede late on, and they're, absolutely fuming. And I think the whole of the back line would have been very keen for him to make that save, because it's a big thing, obviously, on the defenders, on the keeper, keeping those clean sheets. It builds up the reputation as well. The visiting teams come into the CBS.
Yeah.
Kind of, it's not just a case of the fact of we're 100% record in terms of results. You've got to really create some chance to score against us. And even then, as we saw with that effort one-on-one, you can create some great chances. You're still not guaranteed to score. I think Simon Moore has been, obviously, he's been absolutely fantastic. And it's almost at the point now we'd pretty much expect him to make saves in that situation, which is quite harsh on him almost in a respect, but it's also a great reflection on what he's brought to the team.
Yeah, exactly. So Ross, Sum up this performance for us. Vic top joint top goal scorer, I think, and a 6-point gap now between seventh place. Is it time to get excited?
Yes, of course it is. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm buzzing. Everyone should be. I mean, if we can't be excited now, then when can we? Because it's not like, look, we've had, you know, back to the old sort of Championship era, say, there was, you know, like one season where we sort of were top after like four games. We're 9 games in, we're third, we deserve to be there. We've won 6 games. We've got the joint best defence, only conceded 6 goals. But the way we're playing, we're winning well. We're taking the games to the opposition. This was no different. And this was a banana skin, if you've ever seen one. This is a Coventry City defeat in any other season. You know, a team who have been shambolic away from home, literally crumble at the first sign of gunfire. And then a team who have been backed by their biggest home crowd of the season, you know, thinking, oh, this is probably the, on paper, easiest home game, a newly promoted team. It's got all the makings for a 1-0 Clark Harris, you know, penalty sort of thing. But it didn't happen. And they didn't have a sniff. And we were absolutely fantastic. And, hey, everyone needs to get up there next Saturday for Fulham. I mean, it's a huge, huge game. But this performance gives everyone confidence. And I love how we just don't get talked about. And it was the same in the League One winning season. People talk about everyone else but us. And I'm happy like that because we're seeing what's in front of us. And we've seen enough of Coventry City to know when we're seeing something which is actually good and when we're just getting by. And we're playing really, really well at the moment. And it's just a joy to behold. So long may it continue.
Yeah, exactly. Well, some cracking individual performances by everyone in a Sky Blue shirt, I think, in that game. But let's get your favourites. Matt, let's get your man of the match for the Peterborough game.
It feels like the obvious answer. I probably would go for Gyökeres. Just for the fact, I think there were a few players who really kind of stood out for pockets of the game. Todd Kane, especially for me late on. Aimer was probably, you know, one of his better games this season as well. Obviously, you know, the defence keeping a clean sheet, and Moore wasn't called on too much, but when he was, did what he needed to do. But the expectation is there on Gyökeres now, you know, having scored for 3 games beforehand, and kind of he's the guy that we are looking at to get goals. And you know, if he delivers with 2 goals in a game, I think you really have to take your hat off to him. And yeah, for me, that would just tip in his balance.
Yeah, fair enough. He got a. We know we all love a Hugh scored rating. Andy does, and in homage to him not being on the pod tonight, a rating of 9.94 for Gyökeres's performance against Peterborough, which is almost unheard of. I don't think you rarely see, do you, such a high rating from a player. So Ross, do you have it any different?
I do actually. I'll give you a clue. He's Brazilian. He only cost a million. And we think he's really, really good. I thought Gustavo Hamer was... Look, Victor, don't get me wrong, right up there. I just thought there was things Hamer did. And I was like, this guy, there was like a moment in the first half, and the second half, he just pinged these ridiculous balls.
To Mason, wasn't it?
Mattson, and then the next minute he'd get it back and ping it over to Todd Kane. The header, like you say, the header was unbelievable, which led to the second goal. He scored the first goal. I just thought him and Alan, big shout out to Alan again. But in that midfield, he was just, I thought he was sublime. And he looks like, I was critical of him in the second half of last season on the lives we did, whether it was like speculation in January or whatever it was, went through his head or whatever. But in front of the fans, and almost seeing how big, you know, we are as a club, which, you know, when he was playing in St. Andrews in front of no one, you might not have known. But I think the song he's got, the support he's seeing, I don't know, I think he's just gone up another level, you know. And so I'd give man of the match to Gustavo Hamer.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
The Sky Blues will travel to Luton on Wednesday night, a side we have played 76 times. 37 of those we've won, 23 Luton and 16 draws. So a pretty good record, lads. But we drew, I can't remember what we did last season. We got beat, didn't we? And drew. So how are you feeling about this one, Matt, especially after Friday?
It's a tricky game. I think they've been a really difficult team to kind of predict so far this season. They've had a couple of big wins in there. They actually beat Peterborough 3-0 themselves on opening day, but they also lost 5-0 to Birmingham. And, you know, coming into the game, I think they've drawn 4 of the last 5. Obviously, the 5th was the loss to Bournemouth, which isn't in itself a terrible result, but that also includes the, you know, the Swansea game, which was obviously a pretty crazy game in itself. So they were a really tricky team to call. Like you say, last season, really frustrating game away at Kenilworth Road. I think we had a couple of really good chances. Biami, I remember, kind of could have given us the lead before we conceded that penalty and a couple of really poor goals. So yeah, we owe them. I think we owe them one.
So I do really think it's a place to go, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's what kind of probably the most old-fashioned stadium that you're going to get. Obviously, kind of that old cliche about fans being right on the players and
yeah, changing on the coach on the way there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So not an easy place to go to. I genuinely at the moment, I can't, you know, if we're talking maybe some of the top six, then yes, it might be a little bit of a different story. But at the minute, I can't see us not going there and picking something up. You know, there's always that possibility. And we've talked about respecting teams in the Championship and everything else. But, you know, at the minute, the way we are playing, it isn't just a, it doesn't feel like a flash in the pan. It does feel like a kind of a bit of a culture change in terms of the way we're playing. And I think they're going to really struggle against us. They've got a couple of people that we'll need to look out for. Henry Lansbury is obviously a big name coming in there. And we all know the history with Luke Berry, who's had a decent start to the season for them as well. But I see us getting something for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Ross, Matt's covered a hell of a lot there, hasn't he? But yeah, what do we know about Luton this term and what can we expect to see from them and who else can we perhaps watch out for, I guess?
Well, Matt covered a lot there. But what Luton are a team who their results, they've played better than the results suggest. They've drawn, as Matt said, so they've not won for six games, four of those being draws, four in a row prior to the defeat at Bournemouth. Yeah. But in all those draws, their XG was better than the opposition. So in the, and it actually was in the 5-0 defeat to Birmingham, they actually had the chances. It was a very similar. It was 2.22 to 2.86. So Birmingham edged it, but it wasn't.
That'll put you on the spot. Have they scored many goals this season?
So this season, Luton have scored, quick math, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12. Yeah, they've scored 13 goals, conceded 16. But they're a dangerous team. And you read from the weekend that they had some big chances and they didn't take them. Bournemouth started well and got a couple of goals. They lined up in a 4-3-3. Adebayo, he's got three goals this season. So has Luke Berry, that Matt mentioned. And Cornick's got a couple. So they've spread goals around the teams as well, but they're created chances. So it's not a game that I look at all. And like you said, Dave, I don't know what it is about Luton away. I think of Luton away and I just think sort of dark, dingy. And yeah, I do. I really do. I don't know what it is. There's some ground that even if that team are doing well, I go, yeah, I fancy it. I fancy we can go there. Luton, the opposite. I don't know what it is about them. I sort of go, oh, I think if we can get anything from Wednesday, I'm buzzing, sort of thing. Luton, like Matt said, they got off to a good start. They can score goals at home, and they haven't scored as many as the XG suggests they should have in a lot of their draws to Sheffield United, Swansea. Obviously, they're 3-0 up, and then a goalkeeper howler, let Swansea back into the game, but that should have been obviously a win for them. They've got threats and we need to be on our game, certainly, because I don't know what it is. Yeah, Luton away, tricky. You know, Nathan Jones, he gets his team playing a certain way. And I don't know, last season was almost a prime example. I think we'll get chances against them. And it's a case of who takes their chances.
Fair enough. And I think there's more than enough information there for Mark Robbins and his backroom staff to understand what's going on at Luton this season. But in terms of Mark Robbins, how do you expect him to approach this game, Matt?
I can't see him changing too much, to be honest with you. You know, if there's a possible area he may change, obviously we saw Liam Kelly come back into the team for half an hour or so on Friday night. And obviously he's been an influential player for us over the last few seasons, well, since we've been in League Two, really. So yeah, he's a kind of a player that we have leaned on and maybe by reputation alone, we would be keen to see come back into the team. But I'd struggle to change anything too much, really. I know it's an away game, so sometimes you think maybe you go a little bit more defensive-minded.
Yeah, and that's what I was wondering. Do you think the Millwall changes were based on an away or just you'd hope more fine-tuned to who we were playing in terms of opposition, right? But if Robins, you know, we've seen him do this now, haven't we? In against Millwall, we changed. He brought Sheaf in, of course, didn't he? And
yeah,
obviously made the changes up front. But yeah, maybe you're right. He may well look to go a bit more defensive. But is that what you'd want to see, or do you think we should just go straight for the sort of juggler?
I mean, I think one thing, obviously, we've kind of talked a lot about kind of Luton and Kenilworth Road being a difficult place to go. If he were to do it, it's probably not what I'd want to see, but I would, you know, kind of respect in terms of the fact of maybe there is a thought to kind of keep things tight a little bit earlier on in the game. And then, you know, I'd certainly at least like to see us push a bit more towards the latter stages if we were kind of looking to keep it tight. But yeah, I mean, if I'm talking about preference, I just think at the minute, you know, momentum counts for a lot and kind of the way we play, and you don't want to mix that up too much. So I would just pretty much same as really keep going as we are and not tinker too much.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask him for predictions, and not only going to ask for predictions, but Matt, I'm going to go with yours for the Cov Tweet League for the Sky Blues Extra results. So how do you see this one going? What's your score prediction?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go for a 1-1. You know, I do agree. I think, as I said before, I can see us coming away with something, but I would say, you know, 1-1 keeps the momentum going. It's another game, you know, without a loss. Obviously, a couple of away games in there with the home wins as well. So, you know, it'd be good to just ensure we can kind of come through the game without defeat. So yeah, I'd take a 1-1. I think it will be a tight game, but I can see both sides scoring. So yeah, 1-1 for me.
Great. And Ross?
I agree. 1-1.
Well, that was easy.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
The Sky Blues will then host Fulham on Saturday in the early kickoff on TV as well. And it's probably likely to be our toughest test so far, Matt.
I think without question, you know, kind of the old stereotype on paper, but in fruition as well, it's a standout game for us. You know, going into this game, it will be the first match for us against anybody in the top eight of the league. So while the form has been fantastic, it will be kind of a real yardstick moment for us to kind of see how we are against those teams in and around us in the league. And obviously we all know Fulham coming down from the Premiership last season, they're not just on a different level to us financially, pretty much the rest of the league,
yeah,
aside from those other teams that would have come down from the Premiership as well. And the likes of Harry Wilson as a signing at £12 million kind of highlights that as well. So yeah, really, really tricky game for us. You think kind of if you try to combine our transfer fees to 12 million, it'd take you quite a way back into the past.
Yeah, it should be a tremendous atmosphere, Ross. We've got to get up to the CBS and support them, especially for such a big game. What do you think the gate will be? Obviously buoyed by Friday, could be dependent on Wednesday's result, but you wouldn't like to think so. You'd like to think back on, you know, all the videos circulating and on social media from Friday, you'd like to think it would be a big crowd.
Yeah, definitely. It's a Saturday, 12:30 kickoff. I know it's on Sky, and
yeah,
but I think, people need to get up there. Also, it's worth reminding people that it is Jimmy Hill Day on Saturday. So anyone who buys a ticket, a pound of that will go towards the Jimmy Hill Legacy Fund. So it's worth going up there because obviously you play for Fulham, Coventry City legend, as we all know. I think that should be a tremendous aspect to the atmosphere on Saturday as well. And, you know, I've done a bit of reading about the Jimmy Hill Legacy Fund, sort of charity and what they do. And it's great, yeah, the stuff that they do supporting people in the Coventry Warwickshire area with activities and all sorts of different things. So I hope people get up there. That, you know, what it doesn't matter what the result is on Wednesday. We could lose on Wednesday. You know, yeah, we've lost twice this season. But when we've lost, we've played well. So that's the hope that,
yeah,
that I have, that, yeah, we've not lost. And we're not, you know, I got so frustrated last year when we used to play for these draws and then we'd end up losing, or we'd be like 2-0 down, then we'd start playing and we'd be like, well, what was the point of that? When we've lost, we've been the better team. We should never have lost to Barnsley. We had a penalty in the last minute, missed it. And then QPR should have been 1 or 2 up before we made the changes and they scored. So, I mean, we can explain both defeats, and we know that we were just on the wrong side of the result. This is going to be a cracking game. Fulham aren't actually in the best of form. You know, they've just come down. But Blackpool beat them. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it just shows the unpredictability of the Championship.
Yeah.
So why can't we? With the support of the Sky Blue Army,
yeah,
I think it'll be fantastic. Buzzing to have a beer with you, Dave, at the brewery beforehand. And, you know, we'll be all ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. They've not won in their last three, Matt, which Ross highlighted there. One of those was a cup game. Tell us a little bit more about Fulham this year, and is there anyone we should be watching out for, or probably everyone, but yeah, mainly?
Yeah, I mean, like you say, you expect big things from them coming down from the Premiership. They haven't really had the best run of it in the last five. They've picked up two wins, a draw and a couple of defeats. Those two defeats actually have, as Ross mentioned, one of them was to Blackpool, another one to Reading. So two sides that we've actually beaten this season, which hopefully gives us a little bit of confidence going into the game. They are the top scorers in the league. They've scored 19 times already this campaign. So we will have to, you know, we know we will get tested more than we will have done against Peterborough, certainly, and against pretty much every other team so far this season, you know, sitting just one place behind us in the league at the minute in fourth spot. Obviously, standout really is going to be Mitrovic with his six goals so far this campaign. And that's not really too much of a surprise to anybody. He actually netted for them against Bristol City. Aside from, obviously, kind of Harry Wilson, you know, coming in at that big money move, he's kind of found the net three times himself. So he's living up to the transfer fee so far this campaign for them as well. Another name for him is Fabio Carvalho. Young English lad, and he's just turned 19, but four games so far this season, three goals. So obviously we can see with the goals they've scored, you know, that is kind of going to be their big threat. They've conceded a few, they've conceded more than us certainly so far this campaign, so there's going to be chances at either end, but kind of, you know, some real attacking threats for us to keep our eye on there.
Brilliant. Another really good analysis of our up-and-coming fixture for Fulham. What style formation do you think Mark Robbins will play, Ross? You know, it's hard to know what will happen. Obviously, Dabo will be available, I think, won't he? So, it's interesting to see what he'll do.
It is. I think there will be changes on Wednesday. Not so much form or necessarily, as you and Matt were talking about, getting more defensive. I just think it's keeping people fresh. He highlighted, we've got a quick turnover. I think that was the whole reason for the Millwall changes, keeping people happy. I think it's quite clear that Ben Sheaf and Matty Godden are probably the next two in the pecking order, you know, in terms of that first team squad and it's getting into that first 11. And they got minutes. He brought Tyler Walker on for 20 or so minutes on Friday night. He managed to give Jody Jones some more minutes. So I think it's about trying to get as many minutes. I think I wouldn't be surprised if the team that plays Fulham is the same team that played against Peterborough on Friday night, but I would expect a couple of changes met possibly on Wednesday night. If that wasn't the case, I think it'll exactly go same formation, two up top. You know, Mitrovic is a big striker, as Matt mentioned, but good test. Clark Salter's been immense. Shout out to him in a couple of games. I think he's been
carried the ball forward well as well, hasn't he?
Oh, he was in that marauding run. You know, he did was really good.
I didn't know when it was going to end. He was either going to run, he was either going to get tired and fall over or get fouled.
I think he did look tired, fair, but he managed to get the free kick, didn't he? And actually, that led to that chance where it was cleared off the line from Victor. So I think Mark Robbins, formation-wise, it picks itself. And that's the great thing. You know, last year we kept persevering with the one up top, didn't we? The box. And we've only gone to the box from the start in like maybe one game. It's that Blackpool, and that suited. We exploited their sort of lack of bodies in midfield. But I think with Fulham, I think we're at home. We take the game to them. What we got to lose sort of thing. You know, it could well be a first versus second match, you know, or a second versus first sort of game come Saturday.
Really? So never have thought that at the start of the season.
Absolutely never. So we've got nothing to lose in my eyes. I mean, look at the points we're on. We're on 19 points. I mean, it's madness. It took us 23 matches to get six wins last year. We've played nine matches, we've got six already. So it's what a time. I think same team from Friday, but I think there potentially be changes on Wednesday.
That's brilliant. And Matt, I'm going to take a prediction from you, and then I'm going to take one from Ross, who will also have the honour of the Sky Blues Extra Tweet League prediction. So Matt, how do you see this one?
I'm going to back us. I think we can do it. I'm going to say 2-1.
Wow. Anyone in particular scoring?
I'd like to see Waghorn get another. I think his performances have been, you know, up there, and he was a big name for me kind of coming in the summer, and you always want your striker to get those goals, maybe even to help their confidence along. But I think his performances have warranted the amount of time he's been in the team, so I'd be, you know, if I was to, obviously I want Gyökeres to continue along the same vein, and obviously O'Hare as well, it'd be good to see him get a goal, as Ross mentioned earlier. But yeah, standout for me, I reckon Waghorn might grab a goal.
Brilliant. And Ross, take it away.
I'm going to go with the Sky Blues 3, Fulham 2.
Wow.
What a game.
I think there's goals. I think we may well... Yeah, because a team, we've only conceded two goals at the CBS. One was a penalty to Reading. I think Fulham will score. I think they've got some dangerous players. Matt perfectly highlighted that Carvalho is very, very good. Harry Wilson, almost those two more than necessarily Mitrovic in terms of, you know, what he does. He's not the most mobile, etc. But I think we've got players. I think O'Hare is the sort of game where I think there's goals in this game. I think it's real one to be really excited about.
Well, we certainly are excited at the moment. It's an absolute roller coaster ride under Mark Robbins, and it's been an incredible start to the season. That's all we've got time for this evening, chaps. Thanks ever so much for joining. And as always, listeners, do check out our partner Shortland Horn across their Facebook, Instagram and Twitter pages. And as always, if you want to get involved with anything we've discussed in the show tonight or future shows, just use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast on any of our social media channels.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.